David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show.
Hello.
This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
So our teammate who's on before us, Keyshawn, who was on the show with us last week, they always try and talk a little bit of Bears.
Who's they?
Key, Zubin, and then they have a guy that's usually there, but he's been taking a few days off.
Oh!
Jay Will.
Oh.
Jay Will and I had a really good relationship when he was playing here. And then when he was unfortunately injured and then went into the media, I was on the air one day and I said, yeah, probably one of the biggest busts in Chicago sports was Jay Williams.
Yeah.
He calls me. I thought we were boys. How am I a bust? I said, dude, you were drafted second overall and it didn't pan out. That makes you a bust. Maybe not your fault. You got in an accident. But when you draft someone number two, Mitchell Trubisky, bust.
Oh.
When you pick, well, I mean, if he never gets back on the field.
That breaking news?
I think it is. Points Bet.
No.
This is breaking news.
Danny?
Powered by Points Bet Sportsbook.
On
Chicago's home for sports.
Wait a minute.
ESPN
Danny.
1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with breaking news on Cap and Jay Hood. Dan?
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. The facts to this story are just coming in. I am now going to send it off to the correspondent on the street, David Emmanuel Kaplan, who can fill us in and give us more. Please, David.
When you draft someone at number two, whether that be our teammate Jay Williams, who was then Jason, and you don't get what you think you signed up for, be it through injury, be it through poor performance, whatever the case may be, that means it's a busted pick. I'm not calling him a bad player. He got hurt. When you trade up at number two from three to two to get the quarterback that you think is the future of your franchise, and if Nick Foles doesn't get hurt, he will never throw another pass in a Bears uniform, most probably. That then means that pick was a bust.
Gentlemen, what I am gathering from the correspondent on the street is David Emmanuel Kaplan is now admitting that Mitchell Trubisky is a bust. Let's mark this day down on the calendar, October 21st, 2020.
Oh.
We have now a realization that Mitchell Trubisky was a bust. Thank you, David. Back to you, Jonathan.
Hey, it's just called honesty. That's it.
Well, not yet. His career is not over as
a Bear. And I'm sure that little soundbite will be on a loop with the two dudes from Libertyville tonight.
Oh, no.
And that's fine. I'm just being honest here.
Only on for an hour.
When you draft somebody high in the, I'm not talking about a fifth rounder doesn't work out. That's not a bust. That's a flyer. It's a lotto ticket.
Well,
when you draft someone at number two and it doesn't work out, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Ray Charles could tell you if he doesn't get back on the field, it's a busted pick.
Ray Charles sliding side to side of the piano could tell that, right?
That's it.
I like how Ray Charles always liked. He always picked his women. By feeling the forearm to see how meaty the forearm was.
Wow.
You saw the. Do you ever see the movie?
I didn't.
Oh, you got to see that. Jamie Foxx is Ray Charles feeling the forearm to see whether or not she was worthy. What? Ray, that's how you feel. What about conversation? Ray. But here's the thing, though.
You're incredible.
What? It's part of the movie. I didn't make that up.
I got to see it.
Oh, you really enjoy that because it's a great story of Ray Charles as a kid, growing up, being a superstar. Nonetheless, the story's not over for Mitch. As you mentioned, as soon as they name Nick Foles a starter, you say, well, we could very well see Mitch again.
Yeah, if Nick gets hurt.
It maybe is a Disney-like ending. You never know.
Correct. If, God forbid, Nick gets hurt and Mitch rises in and saves the day, then maybe he is here. And then he's not a busted pick. But as of today, if he doesn't get back on the field, he's going to be playing somewhere else next year. And I don't care if he goes on and becomes the greatest quarterback in the history of the world. The pick from a Bears perspective will have been a bust. That's just a fact.
Now, you were saying, I mean, that's strong. I mean, I didn't expect that this morning. I mean, that's tough.
I just bring you my honest opinion.
You were saying about Keyshawn Johnson.
So here's Key. Keyshawn Johnson on Keyshawn and Zubin.
Oh, come on! Don't cut him off the show! Bart Scott did a great job. Can't wait.
Here's what he had to say about the Bears.
This is Chicago, the portable recipe. Play defense. Nick Foles, don't turn it over. Don't cost us. Every now and then we ask you to make a big throw to Allen Robinson, one or two a game. That's all we need, one to a tight end, maybe a check down to a back, and we're going to come get you on defense, and we're going to keep stacking up the wins, keep stacking up the wins, keep stacking up the wins. And then we look up, and then the weather starts to turn. We get people in here. We have some sort of home field. Now all of a sudden, and that's how you win. That's how they won with Lovie Smith when they got to the Super Bowl.
No doubt about it.
Rex Grossman was the damn quarterback, man.
Yes, unfortunately for them, Peyton Manning was the other quarterback.
There you go. That's the recipe to win. The recipe is always the same.
Sure.
So with the ingredients that Ryan Pace has bought at the grocery store, can Matt Nagy cook those groceries up into an offense that is good enough to at least be decent with this defensive group?
It's more of a snack than an actual meal so far. Now we want to see the whole meal. As I told you, I want the Bears going away to win the ball game because of offense. I'd like to see that just one time. Can I see that one time? Whereas, boy, the offense was – the defense did their job. Special teams did their job. But the offense, oh, man.
You're going for a game or a season?
I'd love that for a season, but I'll take a game right now. Can I get that for a game? Like, baby steps.
Like in 2018, they had the 6-touchdown game against Tampa. They had 31 points against the New England Patriots. Yeah. Lost 38-31 when Patterson took a kickback for New England. I'm just wondering, are there enough ingredients to cook a really delicious meal offensively?
I would say
I'm
yes.
I'm not saying a linea here. I'm saying just a good meal.
You know, if you're an offensive guru, you could be able to win with a lot of different players, right? Mm-hmm. The good teams find a way to win. I mean, look at Brady and Rodgers. Not saying that's what's here in Chicago, but think a look at those two and the weapons or lack thereof that they've had to work with in their career. Mm-hmm. They've always been able to find a way because of scheme and ability. If Matt Nagy.
Right. You're like, who's that guy that caught that pass?
Well, same thing here for the Bears, too, right? Yeah. Wims is no bust. And I don't think Ridley's a bad player, but you would think that somehow, some way, some scheme that you could be able to utilize that speed, there's got to be more than Robinson and maybe Mooney. You know, by the way, you wouldn't ask for Julio Jones or someone else of an upper echelon wide receiver if Anthony Miller did his job.
Yeah, if Anthony Miller was the guy that everybody thought they were getting. I mean, I went back and read the scouting reports. People were in love with this guy around the league. And for whatever reason, attention to detail, whatever, it hasn't worked out yet.
Yeah.
You're in year three. It has to work out.
You should learn in year three to get to the sticks.
Correct.
Get to the first down.
Yeah, like last week. Yeah. Catches that pass and goes backwards. Right. Dude, come on. You got to know where you're at. You know. I guarantee you if we had Waddle sitting here, he would say, I would always know where the sticks are. Just get there.
Yes, so that's the whole thing. This is why you're pushing here by the time we get to the deadline for someone else, because no one else is established. But if you're Nagy, man, you should be able to get something out of something on your roster. You mean to tell me all you have is Robinson, Mooney, Graham, Komet? That should be enough, by the way. But if you feel like you can't win with what you have on this roster, then once again, we point at Pace, we point at Nagy, we point at the offensive line, everything else. But the bottom line of all of it is, when we peel it all back, is you're not scoring enough points to be able to be a viable contender in the NFC if you don't score.
That's why I am imploring them to explore all options at the trade deadline. You're in a pandemic. If you could take money, someone might be willing to take less in return to get the money off the books. You're a $4 billion franchise. Four. That's what they're worth, 3.8. So if Julio Jones or whoever it is on a bad team is available, game on, man.
All right.
Let's go. 312-332-3776. Demetrius is in Inglewood. Hey, D.
Cap, Jay, what's going on?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Making that right turn.
All right, I'm going to give you my catfish story, then I'm going to give you my thoughts on the Bears.
Uh-huh.
I was catfished on 2017 draft night when Ryan Pace drafted Mitchell Trubisky with that second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest catfish of all time, I'm telling you guys right now. And to get to my Bears thoughts, like, this is what I want to tell you guys. Not only, man, Cap, when you just told us that Cap that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy was on the same page as the draft picks, and how far has our offense fallen? Where Keyshawn Johnson has to say, "Yeah, we throw two passes downfield, and we throw a check down to Montgomery, and that's the recipe." We've been saying the same thing for 3 years. That offense supposed to get better. We got a GM who not only doesn't hit on the first round picks, but he doesn't hit on the second round pick. Just like you guys said, when we don't hit on that quarterback, it just throws our offense back another 4 years. And not only that, my question to you guys is, like, our best bet for the next 3 years is to stick with Nick Foles, because we can't draft. We're going to have to spend all our next year draft picks on offensive linemen. We got a quarterback who's not developing our players. Just like you said, Jay Hood, I can't believe that Riley Whitley and Javon Wims is not on that field. We got to learn how to use them, guys. We're supposed to be able to win with all parts.
Yeah, except the one thing I would say to you, D, is none of us are at practice. We are not there. These guys are not stupid to get coaching and GM jobs. They're just not. I know fans like, that guy's dumb. They're not. To get to this level, you got to be pretty damn impressive. If they're watching them every day in practice, I'm assuming those guys are not performing well enough to get on the field.
Well, I think Ryan Pace's job, because when he went to draft Mitch, the first question that I believe that you ask a quarterback is when you're drafting him is, do you know how to read a defense? That's it. If you can't read a defense, there's no way he shouldn't be here. Of course, Ryan Pace knows how to get free agent players to get here. But that's like I called you guys last week. We don't have any homegrown talent that we can look at and say, yeah, we drafted that guy, and that guy's going to be all pro, except Eddie Jackson.
What about Roquan Smith? That's not a good draft pick?
Roquan, he's getting there. But
what about Tariq Cohen? Wasn't a good draft pick? Nick Kwiatkowski, the guy.
Tariq Cohen, he's okay. But I wanted to see him, just like you guys said, I just want to see the Bears just win convincingly for one time. And by the players that we have on this roster, that offensive line, I don't think we can do it. It seems like we're seeing this 2006 team all over again. You know, we got the defense, but the offense is just not, can't click. It's 3 years.
Well, and appreciate the call, D. Have a good day.
Yes,
that
sir.
Team got to a Super Bowl.
That's right. Yeah, they did. I just, you know, I look at Mooney, I look at Robinson, and I look at the rest of these guys and say, man, offensive guru, try to find a way to get these guys involved. You need more offensive weapons. The tight ends are involved now. We can't say that anymore about Komet, because he got his first touchdown. He'll get a lot more. And you won a nice bet on that, by the way.
I did. It'll never be 90-1 again.
That's all right. But you know what? You hit the bell one time. That's all
it.
You needed.
Ring the bell.
So you got Komet and you got Graham, right? So you got two guys you could depend on. But my God, man, there's got to be someone else. Why have them in the room if you're not going to utilize them? And find a way. These guys are fast. And then you have Ted Ginn, who's crafty. Why pick him up if you're not going to utilize him? It's just like if, because you know what they're going to say. We like our room, right?
Right.
So if you're not going to make a change, my God, man, you utilize some of these guys. And yeah, I don't mean Patterson in for 10 plays.
Yeah, that's why I want them to go out and truly, truly look at who's available out there. Who can you get at the deadline if you're willing to take on some money?
So, in other words, give the receivers that are not getting an opportunity some targets that Demetrius Harris gets. I don't want that guy getting 3 or 4 targets a game.
No, give those to Cole Kmet.
That's correct.
Agreed.
That's correct.
All right. We are going to play a fun game called Shot or No Shot. That comes up next. Take that.
Take that. You take it. Ute.
This is Cap and J Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies at Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Rolling on Cap and J Hood. Weekday mornings at 7. Watch us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. Time to play a very fun game. It's called Shot or No Shot.
That's why I say amen.
Shot. No Shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say amen.
Shot. No Shot. Brought to you by Lou Malnati's. Go to LouMalnati's.com to order online and find a location near you. Danny.
Gentlemen, let's get started with Shot or No Shot.
Good morning, Danny. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Jonathan. Good to see you today. How's life?
Oh, life's great. We got new furniture in the office now. It's great.
It's really tremendous.
They've done a really nice job around here.
Yeah, right outside of Mike's office. I mean, I love that furniture. It just needs an elk's head.
to match the bearskin rug on the floor.
And we're going to play some foosball.
Did you guys not hear about table. The fireplace that's being put in?
Ah, that's what's
nice. Neat.
That's what's needed also. Nice. It looks nice around here.
Nice.
Smells fresh.
It does.
Smells like the
are
old
you, are you a
store.
Foosball player? We got a foosball table.
I see a foosball there. You and I can go in on a little golden tea. Want to go halfsy on a golden tea?
I'll go halfsy on a golden tea.
I can do that with you.
I love golden tea.
We can do that. Bring that in.
There are rumors that in addition to the upgrades on the floor that Cap has demanded a massage table for his office and a masseuse. Is that? Can you confirm that? Because that's the whispers are that that's one of the demands you've made.
Actually, no, I did not. I did demand a manicure station.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up.
Thank you.
Down for that.
There All right, go. Gentlemen, let's get to the shot or no shot portion of shot or no shot. The Chicago Blackhawks acknowledge that they're rebuilding the roster in a letter to fans published on the team's website yesterday. General Manager Stan Bowman said on several podcasts that the rebuild started a year or two ago when the focus was more on the future than the present. He also said that the Hawks can't compete with top NHL teams right now. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot? Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith will waive their no-trade clauses to play on teams with Stanley Cup aspirations and help the Blackhawks with the rebuild.
I'm going to say no shot. I think those guys signed here long-term because they want to be here long-term. There might be one guy, maybe a Duncan Keith moves on, but I do not see Kane and Toews leaving here.
I'll say no shot, but that's what they should do.
I would not trade Kane. I would not let him play for somebody else. I would not.
Well, you got to have an attraction or two. You still want to have butts in seats once we get back to having butts in seats, right?
Correct.
Someone's got to be the draw.
Correct.
Right? It's not the Blackhawks name anymore. It's not the bells and whistles of McDonough saying, hey, we've got ice girls and we've got all this fun stuff between periods. It's not that anymore. That doesn't count anymore. You got to do more, right?
You got to do more.
So you got to have someone that you want to come to see. So I will say no shot, even though if I'm a couple of those players, if I know I can't win, I'm not sticking around here. But the being in Chicago, world-class city, this is where you won your Stanley Cup championships. I can understand why some would stay. Danny?
Gentlemen, Jen Slater of the NFL Network tweeted yesterday, quote, Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now as they sit 2-4, the disconnect is leaking out. On the coaching staff, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. They just are not good at their jobs, end quote. Shot or no shot, gentlemen, Mike McCarthy is the next NFL coach to be terminated.
Ooh, yeah, I'm going to say no shot because they just signed him for big money. No shot.
Money means nothing to Jerry Jones. He wants to win.
In a pandemic, it means something to everybody. I do not see him getting terminated next. I don't. I'm not saying he's here the next 20 years, but no, I do not think he's the next to go.
I'll say no shot and say it's actually Mike Nolan, his defensive coordinator. Nolan was brought in by McCarthy. And so that team can't stop anything. They can't stop this empty chair next to me, okay? So I will say it's Nolan before it's McCarthy.
That empty chair's pretty shifty.
Yes, especially when Yurko's in it, yes. I will just say that no shot. It'll be Nolan that's going to get let go. But, you know, McCarthy, as I told you, he's not doing anything. He's a beat cop. He's just standing there. He's just swinging the like.
Okay, but he would say to you, I'm in charge of the offense, and
not.
We were putting up record numbers.
That's Kellen Moore. That's not him. He's just standing there. Yeah, he doesn't have the play sheet in front of him like Nagy does. He's in the meeting, sure, but it's Moore that's calling the plays.
Yeah, but it's still his system that he put in. And he would say to you, we were on pace to have the all-time passing leader in a single season if he doesn't dislocate his ankle.
Isn't the offense performing just as well as it did last year under Jason Garrett, and they were quick to get rid of him because, well, you know, the offense was sputtering?
I think Hoodie's correct. They didn't change much in offense. They kept Kellen Moore's offense in place. So
the head coach gets no credit at all?
He gets credit. He's in the room.
I mean.
But so is the trainer. Danny?
Are you you admitted Mitch was a bust. Last year, one of the biggest fights that you and I and Chris Bleck had where we were telling you Mike McCarthy's overrated as a coach. You were yelling at us that he's a good coach. Do you want to make it 2-for-2 and admit maybe Mike McCarthy is not a great head coach?
No. He's one of the 25 winningest coaches percentage-wise in history. No. He's a good football coach.
He may not work in Dallas. Really good quarterbacks.
Okay. He also played a role in their development, too. So,
he is a good coach.
Yeah, he's a good football coach, 100%. You don't get to the number of wins he has without being a good football coach.
What's that about Mitch now?
Cap, I don't know if you didn't hear it. Cap, earlier today, about 20 minutes or so ago, admitted that drafting Mitch Trubisky, number 2 overall, trading up for him, was indeed a bust.
Yeah, because I said to you, unless he gets back on the field and has this miraculous, oh my God, he saved the season because Nick Foles got hurt, he's never going to get back on the field. So whether he goes to pick the team.
Cincinnati.
No, because they got Burrow.
He goes back up this.
He ends up playing for whoever, and he goes to the Hall of Fame, it won't matter. From a Bears perspective, he'd be a bust.
Now, so for all those that hear us say.
Busted pick for San Francisco was Alex Smith.
For all of those that hear us say, take that every day between 7 and 10, here's a perfect example of a take that. For years, Cap has said, for those of you that don't believe Mitch Trubisky is going to be a good quarterback, it won't end well for you. Take that. In fact, you admitting that he's a bust is a take that for you. So that's like an example of a take that.
Yeah,
take
no
that.
Question.
All right.
No, but
No
what buts. About the people that believed in Ryan Tannehill in Miami and it didn't work out, and now he's turned into a damn good quarterback in Tennessee? For Miami, he was a bust. Tennessee, he's looking like a pretty good player.
All those Miami people have been fired.
So, probably.
Are you going to apologize?
To who?
To the audience. To the listening audience.
No.
You sure?
Yeah, positive. No apologies coming.
You kind of bit a guy's head off on Twitter. I feel bad for that guy. He's a loyal listener.
I bite on Twitter.
A good friend. You went at him. I'm not apologizing to anyone. Take that. And the poor guy just asked a question. What
was
going on?
He just wrote me. Said, I love you. Hope you know that. And double
hunt. Yeah, because you beat him down. He felt like he had to apologize, the poor guy.
Yeah, no.
No apology?
No apology.
Really?
None. Zero. Sorry. Take that.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
That's not the same thing.
Not happening.
Is the Trubisky your Brenneman moment? That's what they're saying over there.
No shot. Danny.
All right, gentlemen.
I just want to apologize.
It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, which premiered on CBS in 1966.
Sylvie.
Then moved to ABC in 2001. Will not air on ABC this year. It is moving to Apple TV Plus for free from October 31st through November 1st. Gentlemen, shot or no shot? A tradition like It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, leaving the network is a major crime to humanity.
It is. That's a shot. It's sad. I'm having a hard time today because Charlie Brown, always part of the South Side home, right there on the floor model series, Technicolor TV. You remember those, don't you?
I do.
Cap, you remember those, right? Right there, the old floor model TV. You hit the on button.
Zenith.
It would take a while for it to come on because the TV had to warm up.
Zenith.
And my grandmother would say, hey, I looked through the TV listings when he had them back in the day, the old TV listings.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was, Charlie Brown. And when you saw, it used to be on CBS, and when you saw the graphic, dun, 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 when it said CBS special presentation, you knew that was going to be something quality. And there he was, Chuck Brown, right there for me. Charlie Brown, Great Pumpkin, Christmas Stories. As a hyper kid, that was the things that calmed me down. He goes, hey, Charlie Brown's on. Sit there on the shag carpeting and watch Chuck Brown.
Was there plastic on the furniture?
Of course it was. 70s.
I just said to my wife, because we're going to be grandparents, hey, don't be thinking about putting any plastic on the furniture. She looked at me like, what? What do you think I am?
It's before her
90?
Time. It's before her time.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So I'm just telling you right now, man, it's a sad day when it's not on network TV. That used to be on CBS 2 right there for me.
Pal. You have an iPhone right there?
Yeah.
It's called streaming. Stream it. Put it right on your phone, your iPad.
It's not the same when Channel 2 is right there for you, right? You just turn on Channel 2, and there's Charlie Brown with his story. That's a shame.
I've been in the house where Brett will be watching something on his phone. And I'll be like, dude, there's a 65-inch TV right there. I'm good. and they watch on their phone.
It's educational, too, to learn about friends and learn about friendliness. That's what Charlie Brown was there for, just telling you stories.
Who was the dirty kid? What was his name?
His name's Pigpen.
Pigpen.
And they rarely use Franklin, who I am around here. Nonetheless, look at Danny. You know, as I, me being the Franklin around here at ESPN 1000, I felt for Franklin. You ever see that picture of them all sitting at the dinner table at the outside, the picnic table? As a picture of all the guys around, and then Franklin's way at the end, by himself.
By himself.
Yes, that's
nobody
me.
Nobody around him.
Well, it was me. It's different now with Good Karma, but on the Dell of it, that was me at the far end of the table.
Yeah, he's all the way down there.
That was me. I was Franklin for a long time around here.
Not anymore.
No. You see that picture, right? Have you seen the picture?
I'm looking at it right now.
I'll call up the picture for Cap to see. Franklin was like, there you go. Put it up there on the screen for me. I'll put it on Twitch in a minute. Look at Franklin. All
There's
the Peanuts
four
characters.
On one side of the table and Franklin's alone on the other.
You see that?
Franklin's
you
all that? By himself.
That's 15 years at ESPN 1000 until Good Karma came in here. That's me. Franklin sitting by himself. Oh, this is me. Hey, Cap, here's a story, right? The story is when we'd had the holiday party, right? Holiday party. And look who works at night. Who's got to carry the load at night? You think they had me get off? You think they had me scheduled off? No. Merck is like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Oh, don't worry about it, pal. Didn't want me to come to the holiday party.
Wow.
Had to hold up the 7 to 10. You know why?
Where's Hood?
Franklin. That's why.
Franklin's on the air.
I had to have, like, George Costanzo bring me a plate from Chicago Cuts. Hoodie, I saved a steak for you.
Here's a piece of Waddle steak. Here's a piece of Cap steak. Danny's potato.
Like, me and Black would have to just still be here, like, doing the show during the holiday party. I brought you a steak. And I know you like potatoes, so here you go. And I got asparagus. Like, oh, George, thanks, buddy. You're a mensch. Thank you. Not invited to holiday party, but hey, thanks so much.
All right, Franklin.
I had to do Bulls Buzz.
Does that make Cap Charlie Brown in this analogy and then Ryan Pace's Lucy pulling the football away every time?
That's probably a pretty good analogy.
Franklin.
Do you ever make bets you know you won't win, but you still make the bet anyway? Franklin and I will discuss that coming up next.
Franklin!
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So do you ever make a bet, Hoodie? Franklin, do you ever make a bet?
I'm showing the people on Twitch what I had to go through. Hold on a second. I'm showing them the previous administration. Is that framed up good, Jeff, on Twitch? That
wow.
Framed up?
Go up slide it over just a little bit to your right, I think.
To my right?
Yeah, I think that'll show it a little better.
I just want to show people Franklin sit in the lawn chair where everyone else get a good chair. It's tremendous.
Surprised you don't have like a stool.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, this is how I had a stool for 14 years around here until Good Karma came. It's outstanding.
That picture is unbelievable.
What?
It's funny.
How does a Sally or Lucy, how do they don't roll over and just give Franklin a little company there?
Let me move my chair over and sit with you, Franklin.
It is awful tight. It's elbow to elbow for Charlie Brown, yeah. Linus, Snoopy. Is that Peppermint Patty? Like, it's yes. Tight on that one side.
Even a Patty.
Franklin's
Even the redhead gets a seat at the table. Franklin?
Not so much.
All by himself.
The most insult. The dog has one of the nice chairs, and Franklin gets the beat-up lawn chair.
Franklin's reclining back.
See that? Got all the shows represented. Cap, Carmen Yurko, Waya, Sylvie, and under the hood by himself on the side.
Do you want me to go to network on that night so Jonathan can be at the dinner? No, not necessary.
No, he's got Bulls Buzz. You gotta stay. And no Christmas party for you. And you gotta review Bulls Charlotte.
At least Franklin gets to sit at the table, Hoodie. Hoodie wouldn't even get an invite.
So
go ahead.
Did you ever make a bet knowing that I got no chance of winning it? Because I used to bet the Cubs just about every year, that they'd win the World Series, hoping that I could hold that ticket and go, oh my God, I've got it. I've got that ticket when they finally did it.
Yeah. Well, all the time with the Bears to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
I did have the Super Bowl a couple times, Cap, but usually just for the division. Like, I know they can't win the Super Bowl, but maybe this is going to be the year they break out. Well, of course, there's some people that know that they can't win, including the Jets. You know they're not winning the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
You're not going to win anything, but yet bets are still going in on the Jets.
Big time. And I don't understand how people, this is an ESPN article from David Purdom.
Yeah.
He is one of their gambling gurus. Money on the Jets to win the Super Bowl showed up last week at Las Vegas sportsbooks. Petite in size, the sincerity behind these bets is questionable. Plus, the winless Jets just aren't very good. Still, a customer parted with $40 on the Jets to win the Super Bowl at 5,000-1 odds. Why? Why?
Why bet on the Jets knowing that they're garbage?
Why? Like, what is the purpose there? At least when I bought the Cubs bet, it was before the season started.
Of course. Of course. You knew going in, as long as Gase is the head coach, as long as you don't have a lot of weapons. We talk about weapons with the Bears. They are bereft of weapons with the Jets across the board in a lot of spots. Why put your good money on the Jets knowing that they're not going to do anything?
Right. It's not like this is August 25th and you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle at long odds. Like, you know. They're done.
So a $40 ticket, Cap, a $40 ticket on the Jets to win the Super Bowl at 5,000-1 odds. Around the same time across town, a pair of single-figure Super Bowl bets on the Jets were placed at MGM. $5 or another one was at $2 on 1,000-1 odds. Why would you do that?
Like, you have zero chance of cashing that. Zero.
So what?
Like, when the Blues won the Stanley Cup a couple years ago, they were 250 or 200-1 in January because they were the worst team in hockey.
Yeah.
They still had 3 months to make it up, and they had good players coming back from injury. And they got hot, and they won the Stanley Cup. But there is no scenario that you look at the Jets and go, if Darnold's shoulder's a little bit better,
no,
we block a little better up front, we could get hot and win this thing.
No.
Like, there's zero chance.
No. And so, what about you, Danny? Is there one bet that, because for me, it's the Bears. It used to be the White Sox to win the division. I'm like, well, if I keep putting $50 into the app, knowing that the Sox are not going to win the division, what's the point?
Danny probably money. Bets Kansas football to win the national title
all
every year.
All right.
Yeah, no shot, Cappy. Even I know better than that. I do make a bet every single year when March Madness rolls around and we fill out our brackets. I always fill out two brackets. One with what I really think is going to happen, my educated prediction on the tournament, and one with Kansas winning it all. Now, a lot of times that overlaps. For instance, if they played the tournament this past March, I would have had Kansas winning it all.
Yeah, they were the number one seed.
Exactly. So I would have felt good about that. But there are some years, because I watch 99% of Kansas basketball games, where I know going into the tournament, this team really has no shot to win it all. But because that's my school, that's my passion, I will give the $20, $25 with the bracket, knowing that I'm never going to see that money again, but I have to fill it out with Kansas winning.
But see, with a good team like that, more times than not, you've got to feel, you know what? I got a good shot at this. If your team was dog crap, then it's like, okay, now you're just throwing good money out. But it's Kansas. They always have a chance,
always,
don't they?
Always.
Yeah.
Well, I think most Cub fans will say then it's at the beginning of the year when right before first pitch of opening day, you'll lay some money on the Cubs to win the World Series until Theo got here. Obviously, Theo changed the culture and the expectations. But there was a long period of time when people would just bet the Cubs to win the World Series thinking to themselves, I'm going to have the ticket when it finally happens, with no real expectations of betting on a Cub World Series.
So we had a sportsbook director come on in 2003, back down the dial, Waddle and I. And he said they had listed the Cubs at some stupid odds. Well, they're coming off of 63-89 or whatever they were, and Dusty shows up. Well, all of a sudden, they're five outs from going to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And as that, when they were up 3-1, Waddle and I got this guy on, and he said, oh, we're terrified. We are terrified. He said, we just had a meeting, and we did it as a joke, gave the Cubs these astronomical odds because we know there's no way they're going to win. And now here they are one win from going to the World Series and four wins in the World Series away from the casinos in Vegas, losing tens of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. He said, we'll never make that mistake again. And then they did with Leicester City in 2016.
Yeah.
The Cubs came in as one of the favorites because they'd been in the NLCS. Leicester City in the English Premier League, mm-hmm. 5,000-1. And they won the Premier League,
whoa,
which no one saw coming.
Wow.
Yeah.
So at Cap J Hood on Instagram or Twitter, we asked the question, is there a bet that you make when in which you know they can't win? And for me, for generations, it's been the Bears. No, there are more times than I couldn't cash that ticket because they could not win the division.
So I went on yesterday on PointsBet Sportsbook app, and I didn't put the bet in, but I clicked on the teams mm-hmm. to see what it would pay. Do you know that if you took the Colorado Avalanche to win the Stanley Cup next year,
yep.
they're the favorite. If you took the New York Yankees, who will be the second choice they are right now, to win the World Series, mm-hmm. and you took the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are undefeated, those three teams, and you bet $1,000, those three teams in a parlay, they have to all win,
sure,
pays over $800,000. If you add in the team that lost in the finals this year, Miami, and all four hit, that parlay pays well over $2 million on $1,000.
Old Jed's a millionaire.
Old Jed's a millionaire.
Well, you know what, Jeff? We can retire. If we get all four of those, we can leave.
That'd be amazing.
But then what will I do every morning?
If you like sports talk radio and betting,
go to the transaction wire looking for Kai Forbath.
We have a documentary you need to watch. We'll tell you what that is next.
Take that.
This hour brought to you by CBDMD. Discover the secret to everyday wellness. CBDMD. Superior CBD, superior you. Get 20% off when you enter the
club.
That'd be Waddle.
They heard me the first time. You don't have to get me ready. Mornings. Waddle.
ESPN 1000.
Waddle.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Waddle. Maller. Waddle. Take that.
I wonder when I called Mitch a bust, how quick Sylvie had, somebody tweeted, how quick Sylvie had to get off the elliptical so he could grab his phone and tweet.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, 312-332-3776. So, I'm a big fan of Craig Carton. Big fan. I think he's really talented. Danny and I used to listen to him, both, coming to work. This is pre-2017 when he ran afoul of the law. There is a new documentary on HBO.
Well, that's a white-collar crime. Ran afoul of the law. How about a criminal? How about that?
He's a criminal.
All right, let's cut to the chase. He ran afoul of the law. Why? Because he made $2 million and he's a white-collar criminal.
Correct.
He ran afoul of the law.
And so,
what if that's me?
He gets busted one morning.
Arrested.
On his way to do his radio show, he is walking out of his condo in New York, mm-hmm. comes down the stairs, 3:30 in the morning, woman walks up and says, excuse me, are you Craig Carton? I am. FBI, you're under arrest. And he ended up serving a little more than a year of his three-year sentence. They said he was a model prisoner. And now he's going to get back into the radio game. Now that he's served some time, and this documentary is exceptionally interesting. Take a listen.
Good morning, everybody!
For 10 years,
I was the morning man in the city I grew up in.
It's Boomer Esiason and Craig Carton on The Fan.
It was the number one morning show in New York and in America.
If you want to go into it, let's go into it, but not today because I got other people who want to talk, and you're boring me. Goodbye.
Craig comes from a line of shock jocks talking about the games and who to bet.
What am I, 5 years old? How do you make picks not with a spread?
He was the crazy, zany radio guy, and then you had the common sense athlete.
He was the fire starter, and I had a playoff of him.
You have 500 other choices on the radio. Guess what? You listen to me.
The listeners didn't want to miss what I was going to say next.
If you gave me $10,000,
yeah.
I'd guarantee you $25,000.
I won $80,000.
As it's turned out, that was the worst thing that's ever happened.
I'm now the blackjack whisperer. So I started to get approached by the people who wanted to know if I wanted to be in business with them.
I had no idea how much he was gambling.
I borrowed over $30 million to gamble with. I
had no idea that anybody was contacting him.
I thought I was the best, and I didn't think any casino could beat me. I won $325,000 in like 9 minutes and walked out the door to go to work. He would hand me a knapsack, and inside was $1 million.
He was out of control.
Falling apart.
If you lose their money.
This isn't good.
Only ends one way. I took $950,000 for gambling.
Can't take money for one purpose and use it for another.
That is fraud.
We had the world by the balls. He ruined what we all had.
Craig Carton has been suspended.
Boom.
This afternoon, a jury convicted Craig Carton.
Yeah, so the documentary is called A Wild Card, The Downfall of a Radio Loudmouth. It's on HBO. I saw it on demand the other night, Cap.
It's outstanding.
So, I mean, it's a great story, by the way, of someone indeed that had the world by the balls as a morning show host. To be able to paint the picture, Don Imus was on WFAN as a morning show host for a long time.
Yep.
Got fired because of the comments he made about the Rutgers women's basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
As they were looking for someone to replace the legacy that Imus left. Wilmer Esiason, former NFL player. People know him from being with the Jets. And, of course, he's just Westwood One. And they put this team together, Boomer and Craig Carton. And so to hear the story of Craig Carton, a show that I watched and listened to, by the way, because they're just very interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Just different. And to see Carton, don't want to give away the whole story, but just as you just heard there in the trailer, gambling so much money before his morning show.
He would take a helicopter when the family fell asleep at like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And he was gambling so much, they would pick him up in a luxury helicopter at his building, chopper him down to Atlantic City. He would gamble to like, he said he knew the exact moment that he had to leave to make it back in time to be on the air. And he said there'd be nights where he could win $3 million, not feel a thing, and get back on the chopper. He had one night where a guy gave him $500,000 to play blackjack with. He played. The guy wanted a $50,000 profit. Here's $500, give me back $550. Craig got it and was up $1.5 million more for himself and said, I should get up and walk away. He didn't. He not only lost the $1.5 million he was up, he lost the $550 that the guy had given him, and another million whatever in a marker.
And when you walk in those waters, you meet a lot of unsavory people, and this is why he was in prison for 42 months in that fake ticket scam. Understand this. I don't know if I'm breaking the fourth wall, but I think it needs to be said. Danny, you can back me on this. There's some of us that do this for a living that are just not happy with the salary. Like, Carton was making $2 million a year and doing mornings at WFAN. You'd think that's enough, right?
Right.
Great family, you know, all that. And just
wife,
and
kids,
a mention, I mentioned the community, all this stuff, right? You'd think that's enough. Some of us need to gamble just to be interested in the stories we talk about all the time. I mean, and gamble a lot. I've been around it for 30 years.
Well, I couldn't fathom that somebody borrowed $30 million to gamble. I can't.
Some people need that, but you'd think the sports radio would be enough, right?
Yeah.
Some people need more than that just to be able to be comfortable in their own skin or in their job, which is crazy.
Yeah, they need the juices flowing to stay interested in watching game after game after game. They need to have a little. I think that's a personality trait, though. I think the same thing that drove Carton to be as good as he was at radio is what drove him to need to do more and be unsatisfied.
So, again, check that out if you have time on HBO to check out The Downfall of a Radio Loudmouth, Wild Card. The Craig Carton story is amazing.
It's amazing. All right, we will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in exactly 2 minutes. Take that.